don't be a grandparent parent. If you're over 60, you shouldn't be an active raiser of a child.
Triangle?
It's a triangle.
God.
She was 30 years younger. She'd steal me away from my wife. All kinds of inappropriate shit your customers don't tell you. Today, I have a few things that on this podcast, we may be a video, audio, and all around just great fucking podcast for people to listen to. But there are real life stories we have to take into consideration. Mm-hmm. Like mine, where I was after work on Monday, trying to relax with my children before all this foolishness with my son that you'll hear about later in the podcast. I'm going to start my week off with a great day. We made a lot of money, got a lot done, and I decided to go home, and I left the work phone at home. Damn, I left the work phone at home. Because God forbid I would relax after work.
Just bombarded with calls?
I don't know. I didn't have the work phone. At 5:59 p.m. Central Standard Time, a customer of mine decided to drive into my driveway and sit there and honk their horn. I didn't realize they were honking. I was playing VR with my kids because I got Arizona Sunshine too, and we were just petting the dog and like throwing dead body parts and having fun with a 4 and an 8-year-old. Yes, I'm a horrible parent. But I did not expect for a 300-pound woman to come out of a Ford 350, huge Super Duty truck.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, okay, I'm going to go out and see who it is. Turns out it's Linda. And we've talked about Linda on this story, on this channel before. Just for some context, the woman does not know how to do anything by herself at all. Has a daughter that's a bit of an alcoholic and an abuser that lives with her grandkid that apparently is never around. Sad story. But I'm not the replacement that she wants me to be. She says that I remind her of her dead husband. That I'm spitting image. I talk like, I'm more direct like, everything. If she was 30 years younger, she'd steal me away from my wife. All kinds of inappropriate shit your customers don't tell you. So I walk out, and this is what has occurred. I'm going to show you, and Alan will put it up at the same time, so you can make sure you turn up the volume. That's about all that happened there.
Just lifting.
Yeah, trying to lift this woman off my property. Now, the guy who drove up asked if she was all right if she fell. Do I need to help her up? Or do I need his help getting her up?
Mm-hmm.
So I've seen her come by before. We've talked about it, how she just shows up at my house. And I've asked her not to do that. I tell her between noon and 5, call me. Anything you need between noon and 5, I will be available. Mm-hmm. Just call the store. I'm not going to give you my personal number. I've done that before and I get stalkers. I'd really like this not to be baby reindeer. And I'm not indulging this person, but there is personal space. But she says she likes my kids. She likes my wife, because we've worked here before with everyone here. You're trying to skirt the system. This is a customer who's trying to come to my house for advice on repairs instead of coming to the store. And then she doesn't have her card. This woman now owes me $200 because this is the second time she's come to my house to fix an issue and then been like, oh, you're not going to bill me, right? And I'm like, yeah, I am. So you now owe me $200, $100 a time. You want my after hours time, effort, and money and my physical strength. It's nuts. Apparently she fell outside of her house too, cracked her head like last week. Her daughter called and was like, did you have the case that was supposed to be on the iPad? Well, she broke it again because, you know, you didn't give her the case that she ordered. I'm like, I didn't order a case. She said she didn't want to pay for one and I wasn't given one for free. Well, she said it was free. I'm like, cool. Not my problem. Buy her a case. And then she shows up and smashes her iPad and her phone in my driveway. and then blames when I pull her back to the garage to sit her down, give her some water, mm-hmm. that the grass is too tall. And I'm like, well, sue the landlord, not my insurance. That's been like that for apparently 8 years, and he won't do any landscaping.
Damn.
I mow the lawn. I don't do the landscaping to that degree. So that was Monday. Cools down. I get back to the shop, and she, you know, she screamed, "You won't answer your fucking phone." I checked the phone. There's no phone calls. Not one. If you would have called, and what turned out what she really needed was just to close her Facebook.
That was it?
That was it. Her Facebook was stuck, and she didn't know how to exit the Facebook because the app was frozen.
Mm-hmm. And she had to love your customers.
I'm getting a little aggro at some of the dumb questions that happen in this business. It's just one of those things that makes me think about selling this place faster and cheaper. Because the quality is like usually very middle class, great, you know, listen to your advice. They'll handle what you have to give them and they'll take it with a grain of salt so that future issues don't happen. This is one of those people that I wish them the utmost best in their life.
Mm-hmm.
But they waste their own time and everyone else's for no reason. It is, I think, because they're lonely. And I'm just trying to have fun with my kids on the very few hours I have with my kids from like 5 to 9. And that's if I let them stay up an hour and a half late. So like, where's my time? Why is it, why am I the asshole is not answering your fucking phone? No, you didn't even fucking call me. She got the wrong number, I think. But yeah, so that was Monday. Tuesday I come in, just 12:15, because this kid, Mikhail, the night before Linda came in, decided to call me 3 times back to back. And, hey, can I get an interview? Have you checked what you're going to do? Do you know if you're hiring another person? X, Y, and Z. Can I come in? Like, you know what? Yeah, you come in tomorrow, Tuesday, 5:07 noon. He was here. I wasn't. I took forever to get to work. I just woke up and was like, you know what? I'm not having it today. Hung out with my kids, made breakfast, did the whole 9 dad shit. Felt good about it. And then I get in here and he's starting a teardown that I told Seth to have him do, a brand new iPhone XR that was maybe, if we're going mileage, like 3,000 miles were put on it.
Mm-hmm.
Bumper to bumper, clean. We bought it from someone for, I think, $40. And because it was $40, I was like, you know what? If he damages anything, it's not going to be a big loss. It'll be a training experience. And usually we'll give people iCloud phones that we've already taken parts out of or things that they can't harm, like the switch I gave you. There's not much you can harm in that. You broke, I think, a diode on it. Something like that that is very simple and easy to repair.
Mm-hmm.
Versus this kid murked this phone.
This one?
Yeah, murked this probably, phone.
Probably hard to see.
So yeah, new kid murked, and I mean murked that phone.
Mm-hmm.
How bad is it?
I mean, he cut the ribbons.
Oh, no, that came after the repair was technically done.
That came after?
Yeah, he didn't break it until he was finished. All the parts still on that mat are what he did not know went back into the phone. So can you give the camera a clear cut of what that looks like? This is what he was working on. This is an iPhone XR. Not a hard phone to work on.
I mean, from what Seth and you said, like, and what Seth said of, like, him putting in, like, not even all the screws and even, like, the wrong screws.
There's 25 screws left. So my first day doing this work, probably an hour and a half to do that.
You said it took him, like, 5 hours?
5 fucking hours. Some people are slow off the bat. I get it. What I've never encountered is somebody being so confident and getting it so right and then going, fuck it.
Mm-hmm.
Like his fuck it kicked in and he started playing soccer. What the hell is the problem here? He went to Burger King nearly walking back. One of the employees told me next door, he's like, oh, he almost fell into the pit down there. And I guess from that moment, because he had torn all the boards out, everything was fine. There was no damage to the connectors. When he put it back in, he put long screws into the LCD connector panel and bolted Phillips head screws all the way through the logic board. So not only did he break the board, it's got an iCloud on it. I get it. But at that point, he's trying to test it. He plugs it in, doesn't turn on. Okay, let me plug it into the computer. For some fucking reason, decides to knock it off the computer when the screen is just barely hanging on by the cables that are now bolted on with too tight of bolts, and rips the screen connectors straight off the screen. this is why we use these on training. So it's just one of those things where it's like, yeah, that's a loss of like $140 screen.
Mm-hmm.
We've got a battery we can use, but damn, that was not a great choice for somebody's first day.
Yeah, it's rough.
At 5 hours, though, it took him almost four to get to where he was before he scrambled. I was like, I don't think this job's really for you, man. I just don't. And he's like, oh, no, no, I can get it. I can do it. I'm like, you know what? Come by tomorrow, a.k.a. 5, 8, at 12 PST, 12 p.m. And you know what? I'll give you two screens, and let's just see if you can swap the parts without any damage and following instructions. Because we laid out all the instructions for him, tit for tat. He's like, yeah, we'll do it. Wait, no. I got something to do with my grandma. Can we do it Thursday? Yeah, Thursday. And you know, I've got this thing where I had seen in an interview once that you know when somebody's trying to be creatively lying, when they look to their upper left,
mm-hmm.
and they're like, yeah. So if you see somebody going up left, you, majority of the time, due to a study, means that they're trying to think of a decent enough lie. This kid's unemployed, doesn't have anything going on. I don't think it's such a big deal. But then to be given a, here's your makeup exam. I can't do that. Okay, come by Thursday. Yeah, I'll be here. I don't think he's coming back.
You don't think so?
I don't think so. I think, because I definitely was like, holy fuck, man. What happened? He's like, well, it's only a couple of screws. More than half of the screws are out of their place. He's like, yeah, something I just probably grabbed from the wrong space. And then it was all downhill from there. And I'm like, they're not even the right screw types. You should remember the first four screws you took out. Oh, I had to learn that that's a tri-wing driver, so I know it goes here. None of that info was retained. So I'm going to give him a chance just to do some. Even if I hired the kid, I think minimum wage mm-hmm. is the type of job. Like, at the risk reward there is minimum wage.
Maybe, like, today he's just doing, like, a bunch of research, so he doesn't, like...
Something else I told him to do, I was like, excuse all the dumbasses, like, jerry-rig everything. Sorry, Jerry, but you're more of a destruction than a review and tear down and teach somebody how to do a channel. But, yeah, just technical reviews only of tear down and installations,
mm-hmm.
nothing else. And he's like, oh, okay, that'd be great. Except my phone doesn't work when it's off the charger. Yeah, my phone is broken. Fix it. Well, I don't know how. But I thought you had so much experience. So that was an interesting one. And man, you know, we got approved for the house in Enid. So we're moving. It's official. June 26th, my last day here. Peace, Woodward. The idea is not to live in Woodward, but to live in Enid and then try and open another version like this in Enid. Because this is a profitable store. Something in my head popped in where I was like, well, if the landlord wants to buy into one of these stores, why not sell them? Hey, Seth, quick question. What would you do if I sold this business to John?
As in the guy who owns Schaefer's?
No, the landlord.
Oh, God. Start looking for another job.
You'd quit?
Probably.
Yeah? You wouldn't give him, like, 4 months to train him or anything?
Hell, I can barely understand him.
That's fair. He does have a big accent.
I would work
with
him, but, like, if I'm not going to teach another person how to... speak.
Yeah.
That's not my...
I would definitely say that his accent is super heavy. He's hard to understand.
Mm-hmm.
But so I understand what he means. But if he cared and like just learned to speak better, would you have any issue working for him?
Probably not.
Okay. Well, he'd probably give you creative freedom control. You know, I'm just a part-timer here, never to be seen in Woodward again at that point. You're all like, fuck you. Me running off with my money bags, like the fucking Monopoly guy. Do not pass go. Do not collect $200.
Straight to jail.
That's when meth and crack and all that down when I'm 60 years old after the death of my family and some murder revenge spree and, you know, Mel Gibson style life happens to me.
Why are you going on a murder revenge spree?
Well, that's the only way that I would, you know, be like that.
Would go to jail?
Yeah. It'd have to be murder revenge, and then I'd get back on drugs because I'd have nothing to live for. But because that's why I stay sober, like not to be complete menace to my family and the history that we're building. But I think it's an opportunity. If he wants to buy into one of these, buy me out. He's made, if I do the calculations, roughly $1,500 in profit a month from me for a year and a half. That's in profit just over the cost of the $2,500 I think he's in for this and that.
Mm-hmm.
No, that'd be $2,900. So probably, yeah, $1,700, $1,800 in profit per month. So he's definitely made $17,000 to $25,000 for me.
You think he'd buy it?
Possible. He's made $25,000. So what's $150,000? I'd probably sell this for $175,000 at $200,000 a month, or $20,000 a month that we're making. We're netting around $14,000 in profit
because
It's labor heavy. But even with Seth here, he would turn $15,000 by himself. You just have to be consistent with the inventory. That's it. So the idea, I think that's a hard ask at $175,000 for a smaller store like this. The bigger store in Sacramento that I got $184,000. Is because it had a longer history and you turn all the ads off and he was still making $40,000 a month. So like, but that was a quick sale compared to selling it for like $300 on a longer end. And I was flying back and forth and I was like, no, take it, give you this much money off. I take whatever I want out of the inventory, take it here, blah, blah, blah. So, and then, you know, if I moved the podcast studio, this whole room and that whole room could be work, you know, sites. So, fun times. I don't know what I'm going to do.
It's got a whole lot of thinking to do.
Yeah, because it's an hour and a half there and back every day. I know at least 3 days a week I'll be here.
Mm-hmm.
But then I've got to hypothetically on the income loss there for what will be checked in or won't be checked in will be the big problem. So I got to train because I got a month and a half now. Got to train Seth on back glass and the common microsoldering stuff for like HDMIs. And at that point, he might just say, fuck it, and open his own store. If he knows everything, that would be the smart play.
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh, cool. I can just tell everybody I'm going to do it on my off time, which he already does now. I caught him a couple, you know, doing his own little, hey, I'll do this for you, yada, yada. I know he does it for the guys at the comic shop, too.
Right.
Yeah. So, like, Seth stealing business. Little bitch.
Hey, he's just trying to make money. He's making those money moves.
It's one of those things where he gets paid pretty fucking well for the hours he works.
Mm-hmm.
I'm surprised that he has to do that. And then instead of like recommending the business, being like, oh, well, let me do this after hours versus like most people would do it for their friends and family, but like advertising it everywhere he goes is like, come on, advertise us just a little bit. Hey,
I mean, I'm sure he does, but he probably,
that's not what I hear though.
He probably likes making that the extra little extra cheddar cheese on the side.
He almost got in trouble because it looked like, I guess his dad came by for a screen. I think he told you the screen protector thing where I was like, holy shit. Some guy said he paid for something. I didn't have it in my records. It's like, oh, well, Seth said he was installing this thing. So Seth went on lunch, installed it in his car, and then gave it to the customer outside. That's our inventory. That's our money. He showed me the receipt afterwards, but it was definitely one of those, do not take it out the building, even if it's your family, whatever. We don't want the liability, and it makes it seem like you're taking something out of the store.
Mm-hmm.
So try not to do that. Because I give everyone enough leash to basically hang themselves with, rope, leash, whatever. But with us moving to Enid, the idea was, what else could we start out there that isn't just a me 7 days a week building a store for somebody else to run?
You could do a boba shop.
Yeah, that's what the landlord wanted to do, was a donut boba shop. And I see them everywhere in malls. They make decent money, like matcha donuts and all that fun stuff and Krispy Kreme style-esque donuts.
Mm-hmm.
But he'll give me 6 months free on 1,000 square feet across the way, and he'll put in windows in the building. So to make it like a restaurant in that walkway or the hall for where the Army recruiting office was,
mm-hmm.
and he'll let me do whatever I want on the inside for 6 months, free rent, offset the cost, 5-year lease at $1,000 a month. Not bad cost-wise. If I wanted to rent a place, it's really good. The problem is the amount of equipment to make a sandwich, a boba shop, et cetera, you're like $50,000 to do it right.
Mm-hmm.
Fryer, cook, overhead, all the fun stuff. I don't want to spend $50,000 on a business I'm not like in, you know what I mean?
So right.
I came across a couple of like up and coming businesses, people that are doing stuff in Oklahoma City. And I was like, there's a guy who buys and sells ATMs. That's all he does. He's just a wholesale supplier of ATMs. Mm-hmm. And then I found out how cheap it was to buy your own ATM direct from China. And you know, you could buy them from China, have them programmed here or program yourself, anywhere from $200 to $2,500. Sometimes with freight, it can be like $3,000 if you do three or more, but they usually give you a discount on the back end. The fun thing is the processing, you get 100% of the processing. So now I'm looking into starting an ATM business because it's like for every $20 that comes out that I'm giving a person, I make $4 in a fee. Mm-hmm. Some places charge up to $8 for an ATM fee. So imagine 100 people a week. That is $400 a week on a machine that's already paid for. Wherever the store is, usually that you put it into, you'll give them like a commission based, hey, for every fee we get, we'll give you 50 cents. They don't have to provide the money. Their insurance doesn't have to cover anything. So there's options like that. And the interchange is paid by the processor on the back end you buy the machine from, because for $3,000 for a machine that's really like this big with a big screen, they're making a killing on the machine anyway. So, but I looked into it and a lot of people have their own like crazy pros and cons, like cons being that you have to put up money into the machine. But then other people are saying, oh, put $1,000 a week in there, put $5,000 a month, $1,250 a week, so on and so forth. And if it runs out, you'll get a text message or, you know, how many withdrawals, et cetera. Because if somebody pulls out, you put $1,000 into that machine that you're $3,500 into, you need to do 1,000 withdrawals to pay for that machine. And then you're in the black. Okay. So if you're doing 100 a month, that's 10 months pays for the machine and you're in the profit. But that potential for a 20% return on your money every time somebody takes a $20 bill out, you can't get that from the fucking stock market. I can't get a 20% return. And I know personally, I've paid $3 to $6 a fee, taking $100 out, taking $1,000 out. And a lot of the ATMs out here don't really carry that much cash. So I've bounced around ATM to ATM before that weren't the bank ATMs. Mm-hmm. But a lot of the dispensaries do cash only too, because they don't allow... their banks don't allow them to be processed and whatnot to be in a money management like that. Apparently other banks don't allow ATM businesses to be in money management either, but something like that, or a fucking car wash, something that can make money while you're sleeping or not thinking about it. That's what I'm at right now. I want to do less and earn more. Mm-hmm. So that's the hard part.
Yeah. There's a car wash for sale
in Woodward.
Yeah. I think there's a couple actually.
I know why. They don't make that much money out here. People travel through Woodward to get to their destination. They don't like to stay in Woodward. And if they're staying here, they're working here. If they're working here, they're not trying to flash here. So they don't try and clean. They're like, you don't have a laundry service here.
Yeah, we do.
Where?
It's on like the most eastern side of Main Street.
Like a wash and fold? Press, dry cleaning?
Not dry. It's like a laundry service. Like you go in, there's a bunch of washers, dryers. Oh,
no. That's a laundromat, not a laundry service.
Oh.
I'm talking about like a Swan's where you get dry cleaning and press, and they'll do your laundry, fold, press, clean.
Why don't you do that?
I could if I, equipment, 50 grand. I don't want to do that. More than 50 for those types of equipments, especially the wringers that take all the clothes. Those things can be tens of thousands of dollars because they have to be a certain type, and they have to be delicate, speed controlled. Certain clothing can be tens of thousands of dollars on their own. But the problem is it takes full-time commitment to run those machines. And I don't want that. I don't want to do anything that's full-time commitment.
Actually, I think there is a place that does.
I haven't seen it here.
It is, if it's the one I'm thinking of, it's the one on across from one of the car washes. It's like a haberdashery kind of thing. Next to where that huge church is or was. It's like attached to that
place. I'll have to look into it because I haven't found one. And usually I found that where I go, if they have like dry cleaning in a well shopping lit area, it's going to have a lot of spending. is people will go, they'll drop their dry cleaning off. Those higher end billable clients will drop their dry cleaning off. They'll go get their boba. They'll get their tea. They'll get their wax, massage, nails done. Mm-hmm. And then they'll hit the strip for all the little mini malls. Go grab a movie, a bite to eat, whatever fancy dining on the other end. And if I had unlimited money and I'd be like, okay, let me go and open five things to boost my town's economy, I'd definitely start with.
That'd be one of the things.
One of the things, dry cleaning. Another one would be this ATM business. And then just, I won't even go over the five things, but there's a few things that would garner more activity to stay. Because there's a lot of these people trying to pop up like kids activities. The problem is there's nothing for kids to do here, so they do bad things.
Yeah, and it sucks that the bowling alley is closing too.
Shitty owners. I've said it since the start. They're the ones who owned Moe's Signs of Life, and they sold our Signs of Life, and they sold it to Moe or Jeremy Modena, and then sued him. And I asked them right when they were here serving him. I was like, hey, why haven't you updated the bowling alley? Oh, we don't want to put any money into it, yada, yada. Jiffy Cleaners and Laundry.
Mm-hmm.
There's no info.
I mean,
they have no photos?
That's where it is.
They're a clothing store, not a laundry store.
No, you can go in there. I remember that being one of the places.
They sell used clothes.
Well, yeah, but I remember that being one of the places where, like when I was in high school and we needed our band uniforms, like dry cleaned, that they would tell us to go there.
So they have, but my point is where they're just a dry cleaning, you know, like they have enough customers that are bringing that in. That's the idea.
Mm-hmm.
Like, sure, you can say you're a dry cleaner, but the idea that it's needed for the town, there's enough people that need the service here. There's not. So they sell used clothing and it's like a dry cleaner / part-time steamer that sells Goodwill clothing. No bash. That's their thing. Make your money, but it's not a necessity.
Mm-hmm.
This town doesn't have that necessity because there's not enough people that spend the time here to spend the money here. Everyone leaves Woodward to spend money. I'm in a industry that is needed anytime, every place. Somebody has to fix things that break. Plumbers, heating techs, shit, even nail salons, because people always break their nail. They're like, hey, I'm going to get an emergency replacement. Boom. So the idea of the ATM business is pretty good. I was talking to my wife about it. She was like, well, worst case scenario, buy one ATM, find a place to put it. And if you can make $1,000 in a year in profit, buy another one and then just make one, two, three. Because on 10 ATMs, you can probably make $10,000 a month.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just got to get 10 well-placed ATMs. Or I think it was no average, it was 25 ATMs for 10 grand a month. So you're going to make 350 a month with like 100 transactions. And higher end places like malls or kiosk areas, you're going to get more pulls. So you'll have to refill more, but you can send your wife or yourself. They're armed and protected to refill these ATMs because you take a cassette out and it's like a little box that has a lock box inside of a safe that's underneath the ATM because it looks like a facade on the outside.
Mm-hmm.
But seeing how the internals work also make me feel like, damn, my safes aren't that elaborate. I should buy a fucking ATM just to use as a safe. Dude, fireproof, drop proof, break-in proof. They got to do some really crazy shit to get in these ATMs.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting. But yeah, I've been figuring out the move costs. That's what I was going to talk about. I had a guy come yesterday while Mikhail was here and to give me an estimate on moving my house. You come in, you pack everything and move it. I was shocked because I paid $4,000 to move from California to Woodward, Sacramento to Woodward. That was the travel and the drop off. And it was supposed to be 5 fucking days, but my relative or my wife's cousin who was nice enough to do the job for only $4,000, even though that was super expensive, decided to just drop everything off and break a bunch of shit when he left because thanks.
Damn.
It was hilarious. I got the quote. Guy walks through every piece of my house, starts looking at stuff. He's like, oh, is this heavy? This heavy. Starts trying to pick up the dressers. No, no, no. All the clothes will be out. Doesn't really matter. I know how to prep for a move. I'm not trying to have you go through my dirty underwear and like pack everything for me. Everything will be boxed and ready to go. Center of the rooms. Boom. We'll be cleaning around you. And then he was like, oh, cool. Found my humidor in the garage. On the way out, decided to open my humidor and look through my cigars. I'm not kidding. So he like, oh, you smoke cigars? Oh, cool. And I was like, yeah, sure. Do you want one? And he just picks out the Cohiba. I was like, yeah, you can take it. I'm not smoking them hella fast anyway. But something after the fact kind of hit me where I was like, who the fuck are you? To like, and it, you know, at first, let me go back. When I called this person, I thought he was somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
Because it turns out somebody else owned it previously with the two trailers. And they're not even trucks. They're trailers that you want me to let you try and strap all my furniture and boxes to. It doesn't seem very secure. I would really like an enclosed truck of some sort that's right. Safe, even if it bounces around, everything's in the same box and it's closed and it's simple. That's what boxes are for, is to keep objects inside. It's only an hour drive, you know, at 75 miles an hour consistently, but it's about, I think, 88 miles exactly door to door. So I was like, well, what's it going to cost me? 88 miles one way, you guys return wherever you want to go, one trip, 50 footer, I'll probably fill in a 26 footer with mm-hmm. everything we own. If I got everything from this office too, probably I would say a couple more hours to load things, but I could probably work the other furniture from in here too. And he told me it's going to be anywhere from like $2,000 to $3,200. And I said, okay, send me a breakdown. He's like, okay, I'll put you on the books. I was like, no, send me a breakdown. He's like, all right, I got you penciled in. Send you a breakdown tomorrow. At no point did I say that I was, yes, using you. I was like, I need an estimate to talk mm-hmm. to A, my wife, figure out the budget, see if it's something we're going to do on our own. And I'll tell you what the budget is today.
Yeah, what's the breakdown?
My estimate as follows. Mileage, 97 times $5 a mile.
$5 a mile?
Yeah. $485 for mileage. 7 hours to load and unload, $840 estimated. It's going to take them longer than 7 hours to load and unload. And then drive time and disassembly is $450. What the fuck? If you're paying for mileage, why are you paying for drive time?
So you're double paying for mileage and drive time?
Yeah. And what's disassembly?
Beats me.
Total is $1,775. Appreciate it. Here's the discount because you're a vet. Look forward to working with you on June 26th. So I said, unfortunately, like I said, this is an estimate. I appreciate your time for coming out. We're going to have to discuss this, as this is not as expected. I'll have to talk to my wife. I'll let you know in the next coming days. We have 2 months, so there's no concern.
Mm-hmm.
And he got a thumbs up. So I'm just shocked at it because, A, he wasn't the guy that I thought he was, because everyone's like, hey, this is Travis Cook. This is Travis Cook. Go to Travis Cook. I call Travis Cook. He's like, yeah, this is Travis. Shows up, it's a different guy. He bought the business from Travis Cook. He pretends to be Travis Cook. And I was like, okay, so whose license is it then? Well, it's Travis's.
But you bought the business from him and it's yours now?
So you're not licensed as a moving company.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, okay, so what, do you have insurance? Oh, yeah, I got auto insurance. Do you have insurance? I have auto insurance. What the fuck? Like, is it that hard to stop fucking skipping by questions? This is America now. Direct and to the point, please. Do you have your general liability insurance for your business in case you run off the road with all my shit?
Mm-hmm.
I have auto insurance that covers up to $200,000 in personal property. I don't care. So I'm already spooked for it. And then he gives me a cigar because it's like, oh, I smoke cigars too. And that's why I was taking a look. Sorry. But here's a cigar I'll take for one of yours. And I don't even remember the name. I just threw it in the trash. Unwrapped, you know, just raw thing. It was like, whew.
Damn. Maybe that's what you should do. That's another opportunity idea. You don't have to be a part of it, but you could hire people for it.
By what?
A moving company.
Well, so I was expecting like $1,500. Mm-hmm. Two guys come grab my stuff that I've already packed and broken down, drive it 80 miles, $1,500. Because U-Haul is going to be $450, right? So I'm thinking, even as a business owner, if I charged for this, it'd be $1,500 to $2,000. I hired a moving company from my old place in Sacramento when me and my wife were getting married before my son was coming. And I was like, hey, move me from my 3-bedroom townhome to my new 3x2 house. Not even 4 miles down the road. And that was $2,500. And I was like, okay, but there was glove service. They came in, white gloved everything, broke it down, unscrewed it all the IKEA shit, put it back together. Like, best. The Two Sons Moving Company in Sacramento, California, just. But this was a new one where it was like, hey, old boy, I'm just coming by. I'm not really the guy you call, but I'm really, you know. And it was so weird. It was so weird. And I'm like, I'm going to think about it. It's 2 months out, trying to get estimates. And he's like, I got you down. You're booked. Don't worry. I'll expect your deposit. What? Like, it was very pushy.
Right.
Tell me you're desperate without telling me you're desperate.
Pretty desperate.
It's pretty desperate. You're looking for work. How's it going?
Slow.
Slow. What's the offers on the table right now? Contracts?
I thought it's still up in the air. I don't know if it's even going to happen. There's like with all the tornadoes and stuff, and that happened in Texas and Oklahoma. There's a possibility for a FEMA contract, but still haven't heard any news from that. I'm in the process of getting my Oregon license, but I got an email today from the Oregon Health Department or whatever asking me for like more detailed info of like how many days have I been a paramedic. And I'm like, well, I thought the thing was just like I've been a paramedic for 2 years, 24 months. Do you need a breakdown like how many days I've worked as a paramedic? Because
like how much info do you really need?
Yeah.
You
know? So I sent them some more info of like, well, you know, from January to November of 21, I was working full time as a medic here. And then after that, it broke down into like different months of me working as a paramedic. And it was paramedic specific of like working as a paramedic as an ALS 911 service provider. So all the like Oregon COVID tent stuff didn't count. But the FEMA stuff did because those were like 911 service related. And then still haven't heard back from any of the other ones that I've applied to. So it's really just up in the air.
So what would be the reason why they wouldn't reply to you? Is it like it's not super needed or is the industry stagnant? You know, like
that? I don't think so. I think they're just like flooded with a bunch of resumes and stuff.
Well, Alex here is going to help me make some soap for Made by Love. So then he's going to advertise it with his super silky Spanish skin.
Because if anybody's desperate for money, it's this guy right now.
Yeah. I understand it. It's been one hell of a week for sure for decisions and shit being up in the air. Everyone's, even people that I know in like Sacramento that are going through like new kids, drama, everyone's got something going on where it's like life decision, moving countries, the world. Donald Trump's going to jail. He's got gag orders. All the bullshit with Drake and Kendrick, which
right.
We'll talk about in a short later, but you should check that video out when it comes out.
That's kind of funny. Did you see?
I saw it all. I got all the tea.
No, not just that, but the TikTok I sent you about Joe Biden, Trump, and then Kennedy.
No, I have seen Robert Kennedy's new interview, done by Woody Allen. Woody Allen narrated Bobby Kennedy's biopic. It makes me want to vote for him if he wasn't like alien. You know what I mean? Like, I swear Bobby Kennedy is definitely the best option if you are eco-friendly and concerned for the little man.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not concerned for the little man. Unfortunately, I'm going to vote for Donald Trump because my life was better. And I can factually say from the years 2016 January to 2020 January, life was perfect.
Mm-hmm.
Perfect. Children, life, marriage, money, raining money, hallelujah, saving money, hallelujah, lower tax and VATs, oh baby, put Trump back in office, please. Yeah.
That's his new jingle.
But I'm telling you, it's more money. And money drives the world. It's definitely, what's the Quran say? Like, you're either going to be driven by money, or you're going to be driven by, you know, God, right? Money is what it is. Drives a good majority of people. That's why we're all sinners.
But the whole like video was
Oh, that's what I was looking up before TikTok started yelling at me. Some fat guy on. I was like, damn.
Oh, man. What was it? It was a non-political whatever. The non-optional. I don't remember how they phrased it.
Says Biden is the spoiler. Vote for Kennedy. Yeah. Know
that Robert F. Kennedy Jr. is running as an independent candidate for president of the United States. But you probably have heard him spoken about like this.
Spoiler candidate, a spoiler.
Spoiler. Called Kennedy a spoiler.
I'm a spoiler.
But is this really true? I mean, is
the point of it was that people.
Hold on. So I got a sign sent to Sacramento because he has no signs out front. We've talked about.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm just getting a bunch of text messages because apparently that sign no longer, the old sign doesn't fit in the package. And they sent me like a super small sign and it says package didn't do any justice. The old sign won't fit in the same package. You can wait 24 hours for Amazon to give you the 2 to 4 hour refund. I'll just put a sign in the box. Zeke's granddad got burglarized twice this week. And there's been a lot of shit going on around here. Even a homicide up the street, man. I may have something here at the shop for the after hour work since HH lady is not here. All right. So apparently Zeke's grandfather got robbed and I'm like, no, wasn't Zeke probably robbed his grandfather twice in a week? He's a transgender man who went to a female transgender woman, I guess. And he's got some mental health problems. He constantly from the show and people, he's the guy who would constantly show up and try and just grab shit and steal shit.
Mm-hmm.
And I warned him not to have him there. And now he works there. And it's crazy that all of a sudden his grandfather, who lives secluded in the middle of nowhere and nobody knows, is rich as fuck, got robbed twice in a week.
Damn.
In the same week.
Totally not suspicious at all.
At all. The grandfather hasn't been out to go shopping in like 5 years. Mm. Zeke does all the shopping. Something about COVID and they possibly die and they're really like secluded and, you know, but he gave his grandson Zeke $100,000 and he bought a Porsche, an EV Porsche, and lost it. I don't know. Yeah. Then he decided to get top surgery and got boobs. Is another thing that happened a couple of weeks ago. I digress. That's a situation as it unfolds. I will talk about more, but I something stinks like Eric, you know, once they go through that and then they're like, oh, I need money. It's kind of like a junkie where they need to take from somebody else to satiate because they've justified in their wild mind that someone's out to get them or against them.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, you were saying you're Biden thing, which I was trying to look up and then fuck.
It was basically just people saying that really they thought that Robert Kennedy was a spoiler in terms of like where his loss would elevate Biden in candidacy, which in reality it is more that Biden is a spoiler for Kennedy because Biden isn't getting like tons and tons of votes. It actually like shows it's that
all boomers, like people over 75 that haven't seen the change and haven't been affected because they're already retired.
Mm-hmm.
If they're over 75, 65, but not on Social Security, like they're drawing it, but they don't need it because they're well off. All those people are like, well, life hasn't changed for me. The gelato went up, but Nancy says that's fine.
Well, like the video will say that like even like it shows a downtrend like in Biden and the electoral votes and Trump having way higher electoral votes than Biden and Kennedy winning by a landslide against Biden with him even running as an independent and not a Democrat.
Can of Vienna sausages?
First, you gotta get your Vienna sausages.
Somebody lives with their grandparents.
Next. You go ahead. You open it up. Then you do this.
God.
This is what's wrong with the youth. If you're this person's parent, shame on you. Just shame on you.
Dude, this guy's like 35.
I'm fucking overweight. I get that. I understand that, but I actively curb this weight down numerous times a year. You'll see me go up, you'll see me go down. There's times where I'm like, it's more convenient to buy a lot of fast food. But am I out there chugging fucking Vienna sausage juice and eating this shit on camera? No, my biggest problem is I'm up till 2 a.m. and I'm like, you know what, midnight sounds like good for ramen. Oh, you know, a piece of cake.
Just till 2 a.m.? 'Cause
sometimes I'm pretty sure... four. If it depends on, like last night, Dark Matter was released. And if you haven't watched it, the two episode premiere is on Apple TV Plus. Hashtag ad. It's amazing. It is the best Apple TV series that I've seen thus far.
It's Dark Matter.
We'll get into it. God. I'm telling you, it's like an anime meets reality. It's just so engaging for like, imagine a man is randomly drugged and kidnapped and taken to an alternate universe.
Is it based off that book, Dark Matter?
So imagine
Doctor Strange
goes into the multiverse and is like, hey, Christine is with me with three kids and another, you know,
goes
and takes and swaps it. Boom. It's so fucking good.
They made a TV show
with some of the best actors I've seen doing these roles. And I was like, damn, that is so compelling. And he's playing like three, four or five versions of himself in multiple realities. And it's crazy, but it's a good show.
Oh, it's the Robert Downey Jr. one?
No, that's the sympathizer. And he plays four or five versions of himself, which is also, he'll get an Emmy for the last episode on Sympathizer, where he played a bunch of like fucked up versions of himself at the same table with a little Vietnamese guy doing coke and hookers and everything. And he's like, oh, well, boy, you just ain't political type where you can put your head down and get to the butt of it while he's sniffing cocaine off a woman's ass. And the guy's like, you know, in the CIA, we're going to take a hit for the team. And then he takes a shot. And then another guy's like, well, you know, I do say the psychology of it all. You just have to let loose every once in a while. And he's a gay professor at the end going, boys. And then there's another guy who's a director, and it's Robert Downey Jr. going, you know, this role is perfect for you. And he's got women that are riding and doing things on him. He's like, and boy, we're going to make a great team. Bless America. You know, it's just... And I'm like, Jesus Christ, all the things going on, Robert Downey Jr. Like, really? Oh, they ruined the fucking Rangers.
Oh, yeah. Have you ever gone outside into the mud while wearing socks? Do you go through daylight savings with that ever-changing clock?
Yep.
Did you ever leave your laptop sitting outside by a tree?
True.
You might have ADHD. Did you chew on your shirt collar when you were a kid? Did you chew on a fly swatter once? I actually did. Do you space out on a
And mushrooms will solve that all. Okay, so let's go to Kennedy.
By now, you probably know that Robert F. Kennedy Jr. is running as an independent candidate for President of the United States. But you probably have heard him spoken about like this.
Spoiler candidate? A spoiler?
Spoiler.
Call Kennedy a spoiler.
A spoiler.
But is this really true? I mean, is Bobby really a spoiler in this election? We looked into it, and now we have the answers. Now, the preface here is that most polls are conducted by mainstream media outlets, and typically they have 1,000 to 3,000 or so respondents per poll. And most of those polls have about a plus or minus 3% margin of error. Well, we conducted a nationwide poll of over 25,000 respondents, and our margin of error was 0.6%. That makes it by far the most accurate predictor of the 2024 election that we have thus far. All right, let's dive into the maps.
How can they be
this
so
certain? This is the head-to-head matchup between Biden and Trump. Trump with 290.
I'm just wondering, how do you think that they can be so predictive and have so many answers? Because they're assuming the numbers from all the media companies, right?
I thought he said that they send out their own correspondence to these.
They do, but they're assuming with the media 1 to 3,000. About 1 to 3,000.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe that's one media company, maybe that's two, whatever, but...
I'm sure they do their research on, like... Because I'm sure the media has to put out, like, we send this many number of correspondents out to get this percentage, or this is how we get this percentage, because we sent out this many correspondents to verify.
The head matchup between Biden and Trump. Trump with 294 and Biden with 244. Trump wins by 50 electoral votes. And if you're a political nerd like myself, you know that that is not very close. And with Bobby as a third-party candidate, Biden only picks up two additional states, so he still loses to Trump. All right, now here is where it gets very interesting. In a head-to-head matchup, Robert F. Kennedy Jr. wins 367 electoral votes versus Joe Biden's 171. Now that is what we call a landslide. And what's even crazier about these numbers is when you look at the ad spend of these two campaigns, Biden has spent over $36 million in advertising since October 1st, and we have spent a little over two. Now, the next head-to-head matchup that we pulled was Bobby versus Trump. Obviously, this is a very close election.
This is run by RFK for president. And
all right, so to recap, Biden cannot beat Trump in a head-to-head race, and it is not close. Biden cannot beat Trump in a three-way race, and it's still not very close. Bobby wins in a landslide against Biden head-to-head, and Bobby beats Trump head-to-head. So wait, who is actually the spoiler here? Because a spoiler is a non-winning candidate whose presence on the ballot affects which candidate wins. A non-winning candidate affecting a possible winning candidate. So if you do not want to see Donald Trump become the next president of the United States, there is only one candidate running who has the power to beat him, and it is Robert F. Kennedy Jr.
You know, like I said, I would vote for RFK.
Mm-hmm.
The media makes him seem like some conspiracy theorist nut, you know, especially the way he talks. It doesn't lend credence to him being the average Joe that you want behind the scenes.
Right.
He just...
And I mean, he's even mentioned it a couple times. He has
meiosis thing or whatever with his throat.
Yeah. Where that's like his major downfall. And he said like, yeah, if I didn't talk like this, then I wouldn't get as much backlash because of it. And being independent doesn't help either.
No, I think it helps.
You think?
Because it's a difference. What have we had the last 16 years? Blue and red.
Yeah.
Everyone's been miserable, whether it's up or down. And so since life has been horrible for everyone, we want something different. The reason we picked Trump is because he wasn't really a Republican, but he wasn't really a Democrat. And that was the whole thing. He's a newly Republican. He just declared when he was running. He was previously a Democrat till he started running for president. Do you remember that? Most people don't. They were like, oh, shit, he's always been a Republican. He's been against black people, this, that, Spanish. No, he was a Democrat and fought for all kinds of shit. And then was like, well, I'm having a hard time really believing all you people, so I'm going to run against you.
Right.
And he won because it was like, well, he's the outlier. RFK is the outlier here. He has a really good chance of winning if Biden didn't spend 20 times the amount of money trying to block everyone's ad spends. Because if Biden's running ads, RFK is not running ads. And I saw one of the best, like I said, Woody Harrelson on X is nuts. I really started to respect the man when I saw this. Literally, the first thing that pops up.
He is nuts and clearly disturbed the standard. He's angry at Vanity Fair. His own family hates him. The New York Post. He sounds like he is transmitting from another galaxy. He is so crazy, the New York Post. Kennedy is a humorless bully living in a paranoid fantasy, Vanity Fair. What the f*** is wrong with Bobby Kennedy?
Okay.
He's a walking, talking conspiracy theory, the New York Times. He's completely divorced from reality, the Guardian. He is vile, the White House. Being with him was the low point of my summer, Vanity Fair. Bobby Kennedy speaks with a croaking, rasping, painful-sounding voice. His vague explanation is that it's a virus, but more likely it is a crackpipe voice, the standard. Kennedy is a crank, the New York Times. He is a crank, the New York Times. He's a crank who cranks out whoppers the way Taylor Swift disgorges perfect pop songs, the New York Times. He has conversations with dead people, the Guardian. I wouldn't vote for that guy either.
You're most likely going to have three choices for president on your ballot.
Now, when I first saw this and I started hearing Woody Harrelson, I kept saying Woody Allen earlier. And I was just like, I got a lot of respect. This is like zombie apocalypse, you know, I would have voted for at the end, changed the way the world, you know, boom, double tap. Fucking RFK. Like I just had so much support for this immediately. And then fucking Elon Musk is tweeting about it as of yesterday. I didn't know.
Worth watching.
Yeah. No humans, no humanity. So yeah, it's only 30
this guy,
minutes, but
this guy and this guy. I realize you probably heard a lot of bad stuff about him these last few years. But what if the bad stuff you've heard wasn't even true? And what if there's a whole lot more to him than you even knew?
This pipeline is not going to benefit the American people.
I would urge you not to accept the shackles of courtroom monopoly.
We're being given this land so that we can build cities on a hill.
So what I didn't know was, I knew he was a lawyer. I didn't know he fought pipelines, he fought reservations, he fought all kind. He really fought for a crap ton of people and won.
Mm-hmm.
Lawsuits, etc. I didn't know any of this. Because all I've heard on the media is that he's fucking nuts.
Right.
Like, I didn't even know he existed until Joe Rogan's podcast.
Really?
Really.
I knew he was a thing. I just didn't know all about, like, this either.
Yeah, I didn't know he was an attorney and an environmental activist. That was his thing. He was named, like, Person of the Year for environmental activists for, like, 5 years or some shit. So he's done a lot of good, verifiable good. For humanity and America.
Mm-hmm.
And we're not talking more about him. Like, he's a great guy. Great fucking person. Like, behind the politics. I admire and respect him after watching this. If this is all true. What I can't respect is that he doesn't realize that he's fighting a losing battle. Because right now, all people are looking for is to rectify the mistake in 2020. Because we've all lost 4 years to the drama. And the fucking magnitude of spending that Joe Biden has caused. That's what we're trying to rectify. He's coming in saying, hey, I'm the best choice and you're not even looking at me. Listen, we got some old wounds here. We're trying to get closure. Let's kick fucking Joe Biden out of the White House and we'll get on about our way. But I digress. Woody fucking Harrelson. Harrelson.
Our civilization will be judged by future generations.
Either way, let's start with some irrefutable facts. This is Bobby Kennedy. This is Bobby Kennedy in 1962. This is his dad. This is his uncle. And this is his other uncle. He was born in 1954. He grew up in Virginia and Cape Cod. He has 7 kids. This is his wife, Cheryl. Yes, she's that Cheryl. He's an attorney. He's won hundreds of cases against companies like Monsanto, Mobil, Massey Energy, Dow Chemical, and a bunch of other big polluters. He's a surfer. He's a falconer. He's a rock climber. He's a river rafter. He's a hunter. He's an outdoorsman. He was a heroin addict and an alcoholic. He's been sober for decades. His voice sounds weird. That's because he has spasmodic dysphonia. It's a neurological disorder that can affect the voice and speech. He can do 25 pull-ups in one go. I can do 3. He's 70 years old, and he's running for president as an independent.
Why do you think Bobby's running for president?
I think he feels like this is what he's supposed to do. He has a calling.
Who lives there?
That was my mom.
Talk about some of the values you learned as a kid from your uncle and father that you're taking.
We had a duty, they felt, make America exemplary to the rest of the world. I think the major issues that my uncle and father were interested in this country was keeping the country out of war, and then the civil rights, honest government, those were the principal themes of his administration. And that was all interwoven with the basic Catholic Church values that we learned in catechism, which is just honesty, integrity, courage, the golden rule, being kind to other people, being kind to people, even those who you don't like. While optimistic about the potential for our country to still live up to its ideals. It used to be that the Democratic Party opposed censorship. It was the Democratic Party that wanted to rein in the military. It was the Democratic Party that fought corporate influenced government, which is why Wall Street and the big corporations supported Republicans. Well, now that's all changed. Right now, big oil funds the Republicans, big tech funds the Democrats, big pharma and the military contractors made sure to donate to both. Who is liberal now and who's conservative? Who's left and who's right? These labels make less and less sense. I've been fighting corporate corruption for 40 years. I know how they work. I know how to clean them up. And that's why I'm running for president. And it's why I'm running as an independent. I think the country can be recovered and restored and can become a moral authority again in the world, which is what I want. And I'm going to work as hard as I can to make that happen. I started out my life wanting to be a veterinarian or a scientist, and my dad encouraged that. There was no pressure in our family to go into politics or public service. When he died, I felt kind of an obligation to pick up the torch that he had dropped, and so I changed my career trajectory to align it more with his.
I think everybody in my family really feels that a lot of my father's goals and ideals are worth pursuing.
And I ended up going to Harvard, which my dad did, and I went to the University of Virginia and became a lawyer, and went into the DA's office, which was all very much aligned with my father's path. But I wasn't meant for that space, and I think partially my addiction was a reaction to that misalignment. I was doing things in my life that I was not intended to do. When I got sober, I reassessed my life and said, I got to get back to what I wanted to do myself, which was something to do with the outdoors. And so I went to work as an attorney for fishermen on the Hudson River, suing polluters.
This is a pipe from the Putnam County Community Hospital sewage treatment plant
that had contaminated the river and were destroying their livelihoods and their industry and their property value and their lives. And it made me happy to work for them. Everything that has happened in my life.
Got PCRE, blame G. That was the slogan.
All right.
It has led me to where I am right now. The deaths, the tragedies, the addiction, the recovery, finding a deep belief in God. It's immodest to say those things. But running for president is inherently immodest. I believe now that I am uniquely positioned to tackle the problems that our country is facing.
In his decades-long battle to prevent big corporations from harming people, the wilderness, and our waterways, he was kind of like Aaron Brockovich, but a Kennedy. And he won hundreds of cases, mostly for people who couldn't get anyone else to take their case because it was such a long shot, or the people that they were suing were so rich and powerful. Take the Hudson River, for example. When Bobby started working to clean it up, it was so toxic that no one could swim in it. Rivers were catching on fire back then, and the pollution wasn't just a problem for recreation or health. It was killing the fishing industry that thrived for hundreds of years. And GE refused to even admit they'd done anything wrong. What did Bobby do? He fought alongside fishermen and concerned citizens for a decade, never giving up until the industrial giants who polluted it admitted they'd caused damage and paid to clean it up.
The last artifact of democracy is, in our country, are the law courts, where little guys can get a voice.
That's your death.
And that's what the inside of the kid's lungs are going to look like, too.
He fought and beat these big corporations because they had harmed the environment and, most importantly, the people living in that environment. It's a fight he's been in his whole adult life.
This battle that we're all fighting for today, that you're on the front lines of, this is the final battle. This is the battle against ignorance and greed.
Protecting the environment, protect animal habitat, protecting the air we breathe, those are not political issues. Those are issues that we should be concerned that our future generations can enjoy.
Here's a guy who is not talking about the environment. He is living with the environment. He's engaging with the environment. He is loving the environment. I remember staying over at his house with my sons, and I woke up in the morning and they were all gone. And I go down to the ocean, and there's Bobby teaching my two sons how to dredge along the shoreline, and he's saying, this animal is this, and this is so, that one you can't touch, this one, pick it up, yeah. And my boys are learning all of this stuff. And when I saw that, I thought I would love for a president to invite the children of America back into connection with their environment, and how remarkable it would be to glorify this thing that we are built to love.
We're hunters, we're fishermen. The land is our grocery store. The land is still the largest employer. A project botanic dispossess us. The land that would be flooded would drive us off the land. And Robert F. Kennedy understood the environmental impacts. Because of that, this political clout, this concern for a violation of human rights, concern for a free, prior, informed consent of indigenous peoples, we saved the river and saved the way of life.
He was so popular as a public official and an environmentalist, and he was so successful. There's a path he could have taken that I think most people would have taken. Don't rock the boat too much. Be a corporate-friendly environmentalist. Play by the rules. Let big oil do what they want. Let the chemical companies do what they want. Let all the big ag companies screw over all the small farmers. But he didn't take that path. He couldn't take that path. He knew that the problem with accommodating big corporations is it doesn't make any real change. You need to be courageous to make real change. You need to rock the damn boat. Because the system doesn't just need tweaks at the margins. It actually needs a wholesale rethinking.
Yeah, this was when I got arrested in Vieques. 34 days in Guanabo, which is a maximum security prison in Puerto Rico. The Navy was staging invasions on Vieques that mimicked the Normandy invasion. The people on the island were, almost all of them had been poisoned. The food was poisoned. The fish were poisoned.
Curiosity drives his intellect. Just as compassion mobilizes his soul. He's talking about power and the nature of power, the manipulation of power and the exploitation of power.
You know, I saw him sue Monsanto on behalf of one man. You know, people said that can't be done, you're not going to win.
I basically would take care of stuff like this. All the trees, all the bushes are supposed to also apply pesticide. I got sick applying the herbicide. I told my employer they weren't buying that, and they were like, we hired you to do this. That's what your contract says, and that's what contracts are, right? So I was fired.
If my life were a Superman comic book, Monsanto would be my Lex Luthor.
My skin... it was really, really good skin before any of this happened. This thing slowly started. And then once it started, it didn't stop. So they sent me to the doctor and got the results for cancer.
The doctor's prognosis of him was so desperate that it was unlikely that he would survive to try the second case.
You gotta realize I have full body skin cancer. And at one point, it was totally out of control. Clothes were sticking to my wounds.
The odds were against us. But the outcome was so important that it justified those high risks.
At that press conference, he was literally emotional. He was very happy for me and my family, and for Monsanto getting a swift one.
I don't think anybody thinks he'd be alive if he had not had millions of dollars to spend on medical care.
As a result of all this work, all these fights on behalf of the environment, he becomes one of the most popular and revered people in America. He's giving 80 speeches a year to groups all over the country. He's talked about as a candidate for higher office. He's offered the U.S. Senate seat for the state of New York, a job his dad had. He turns it down. It's hard to get more revered than this guy.
My name is Lynn Redwood. Bobby refers to me as the woman who ruined his career. I knew that he was going around the country lecturing about the dangers of mercury.
So these women start showing up at every lecture that I give.
Literally thousands of parents.
And they believed that their children had been injured by the vaccines. They would say to me, if you're really interested in mercury exposure to children, you need to look at the vaccines. Now, this is something I didn't want to do.
And it wasn't until one of the mothers was able to carry our documents to his house.
A pile of scientific studies that was 18 inches thick.
Knock on his door and convince him to read them.
When I read that, then I was like, okay, I gotta drop everything and do something about this.
he wrote an article, and it was where he covered the minutes to a private meeting that CDC had, where they acknowledged the signals in the data between exposure to the vaccines containing mercury and autism. When they walked out of that meeting, that was not ever shared with the public.
I was kind of shocked by just the power of the reaction against it. Rolling Stone and Salon, which also published it, were just bulldozed with, you know, these hate reactions. And then under pressure, Salon takes it down.
Here's the deal. There are only two entities in America who are immune from litigation. The U.S. Army Corps of Engineers and pharmaceutical companies in their production of vaccines.
I had to look into this. So, the fact that they are immune because they are on the behalf of the U.S. government in wartime or medical need, basically approved, they cannot be sued in the pursuit. So you can't sue if, like, the government says, all right, soldiers, Army Corps of Engineers, make a nuclear bomb and it goes off. You can't sue the government for that.
Really?
Yeah. Basically, it goes from that. He wrote scathing words with this.
Mercury and fish. Nobody
didn't care.
Mercury and fish. Mercury and kids. Ruling gets canceled. He writes some more shit. Worst possible president. Everyone starts turning on him as soon as he talks about the vaccines. COVID pandemic drives Pfizer's 22 revenue to a record $100 billion. And it starts coming out that he was right. You know, the information was right. So he starts speaking on it. Gets all these activist people speaking about him.
That is the environment he's going to create in the country. Healthy debate, honest conversation, and a way forward that is derived from consensus is what's happening inside of the campaign. Now we need to have that happen inside the country on a large scale.
I read that, some of your family is against you running for president.
I have a big family. I think last time we did a count on July 4th, there was something like 105 Kennedys, so it's not surprising that four or five of them, don't agree with every decision that I make.
I don't agree.
Just like, the amount of people in every family. A quarter of all voters choose RFK Jr. I didn't know who he was until recently. Americans tired of voting against someone.
An attorney and entrepreneur, Nicole Shanahan, for his running mate.
For the first time in this campaign, I'm hearing, he could actually win. I've had friends text me, your husband could actually win this. Like, yeah, I know. Sim.
A new NBC News poll shows 34% of voters suggesting they could see themselves supporting him.
I've watched so many of your interviews, and people just heard you talk.
You're the first person in my lifetime as a 26-year-old who I have actually been excited about.
I appreciate his authenticity. Period. He is curious. He's willing to admit his mistakes and his failures. He's willing to change his mind based on facts presented to him. I do believe he truly cares about humanity and making this country better and making the world better because of that.
Like the corporate capture of our government.
Our fight
actually a lot
things that they've said.
They think, he's actually a lot like me.
Look at his track record. Look at the things he's accomplished in his life.
The native name I would give Bobby would be one who sees the mountain and moves it. He's a mountain mover. And he's a nation shaker. If you read and listen to what I've actually said, and on Election Day, you think I'm crazy or any of the other disqualifying things that they've said about me, please don't vote for me. I hope you read and listen to what I've said and arrive at the conclusion that together you and I can turn this country around. Because I believe that together we can make the dream of a stronger, more prosperous, more united America, an America controlled by you and not big corporations, a reality.
What do you think after seeing that?
I definitely think that a bunch of the stuff that mainstream media said about him can definitely be over-exaggerated.
Oh, yeah.
And that from the parts that I did see, He's a very reasonable
and generally consistent person.
Yeah.
Not like he's just flipped a bunch of stuff in his lifetime. Like the reason I like Donald Trump is because he works to have everyone have the same option. The Americans, right? He wants everyone to be able to do hard work and be returned, you know, a profit. He wants everyone who works hard to do well. I get that. Like, just down from whether you're working hard at the top, working hard at the bottom, everyone should profit. That's kind of what I get from Trump. Biden's like, hey, I don't want you to work hard. I kind of want everyone to get what they want otherwise, and then fuck the costs. Kennedy's like, okay, well, listen, I think if you're working hard, you should benefit. I think the people at the top should be held accountable if they're working hard and cutting corners. The bottom should get a leg up if they're in dire times. That's the three ways I see these candidates. I still go with Trump, though.
Mm-hmm.
I'd profit more. And you know, from a capitalist standpoint, and I'm a capitalist, I appreciate the honesty that Trump brings, and he's very transparent because he's too stupid to hide it.
Mm-hmm.
So having somebody too stupid, and what if this is just a facade? What if he's another Epstein hidden, you know, secrets in the background? You never know. But let us know in your, you know, comments below if you think that RFK Jr. is going to be the best vote. If you even knew who he was before 6 months ago in the Joe Rogan podcast, like me, I had no fucking clue how big the Kennedys were. I knew the Rockefellers and all them. That's a huge family, but nothing like this. It's been interesting. Should I join the ATM family and start buying ATMs and putting them everywhere so I can make $3 a person who pulls any money? And how bad do you think this move to Enid's going to be? How much stress and how much financial hardship do you think it's going to cause?
Any move is going to be super stressful.
How bad do you think that we make 20 grand a month at this store? So how bad do you think it's going to be with not me here 3 days a week?
I don't think it's going to be like horrible. I don't think it'll be
as bad as Sacramento, but
I mean, I definitely think you're still going to profit, but not as much as if you were here.
That's a given. But the idea is, how much are we going to lose? Because I gotta train Seth to be the right-hand man who actually comforts people. That's his biggest thing he doesn't do. He doesn't comfort people. Oh, here's the price. Yep. All right. Have a nice day. Not, oh, you know, here's my recommendation. I think you should fucking do it. Give us that money. Here's why. That's what I do. It's like, oh, yeah, I'm going to work for you. You're going to pay me? I'll work for you. I'll be your best fucking friend while you're paying me. Even if it's only $30, that, as I tell him, $30 pays for 2 hours of your time. You get it done in 15 minutes. It feels fucking good because you can do it four times. You made 4X the amount for the store that you would have made, you know, just on your own. It's great.
It's just something that Seth's going to have to learn.
And we'll see how it goes in the next
pressure.
Eight episodes. And then I'll probably make a little vlog series on it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Diamonds make pressure. Pressure makes diamonds, baby.
Yep. This house is fucking ridiculous, though. It is 6 bedrooms, 3 baths, jet tub, steam shower, 4-car garage, $2,100 a month. But it also, I got the owner to install a 240-watt, 30-amp plug for my Tesla so I can drive my Tesla every day to work because it'll charge in 6 hours.
Nice.
Instead of me with a 100-foot extension cord down to the basement. Tesla. And that only charges 6 miles an hour at this place. But yeah. It's also a fucking 90-year-old house that's barely been, the caulking around the sink is so old, it's falling out. Like, it's old. Ugh.
But so it sounds pretty nice, though.
Oh, yeah, it's super nice. I was so surprised. Switching through different forms of nicotine.
Oh, yeah, I thought that might be funny for you.
When did you start smoking? What are you doing?
Look, I know it's bad, but I just bought a vape, and it's going to help me quit altogether. Yeah, so now I'm just fully addicted to vaping. Probably, honestly, worse than the cigarette addiction ever was. But I have Zins I just bought that I think is going to really help me quit everything altogether.
How's quitting going?
Oh, I'm just fully addicted to Zins now.
Yeah, because you're not really quitting anything. You're just sort of alternating your addictions.
Hey, man, you finally quit.
No, not exactly.
Oh, what the hell? Are those nicotine patches?
Yeah, it's bad.
All up his back. Yep.
How much nicotine is in your system right now?
This is just phase 4 of the plan. I have a plan. I'm going to turn everything around.
What? Why are you smoking a pipe that's not even nicotine?
I don't know, man. I kind of lost the plot.
You're dressed like Sherlock Holmes, who's a train conductor?
Man, I got one more thing I can try.
You're smoking cigarettes again?
Back to the costume.
Yeah, I have a hunch that I'm going to get cancer, probably.
Good, big fact. So it turns out a transgender male in Sacramento, California, that's working for my old store, the one that I'm in the process of selling,
mm-hmm.
has the he is now a woman, got breasts, had a mental breakdown, and apparently stole a credit card from his grandfather before this, you know, robbery happened at his grandfather's house. The two robberies happened in 1 week. And is now harassing the new owner for $43 that he offered to buy him lunch like months ago while he was having a child in the hospital, tried to go and then take $43 from their store. You know, some people just aren't meant for society. And it's not that he's trans, but he was broken before he was trans.
Mm-hmm.
I remember when Zeke just had long nails and was kind of weird and got $100,000 from his grandparents and blew it on a car. And you know, the moral of the story is don't be raised by your grandparents. I never meet anyone that is like really secure in adulthood being raised by elderly people that cannot handle them.
Spider-Man.
But my son is such a at 4 years old, and most kids are, they, no parent will talk about it. But if your child isn't like some form of a, I don't think he'll be successful in life whatsoever.
What's that?
My son comes to me yesterday and says, Daddy, you're bald, you're fat. And you look like a ghoul. What was it? A ghoul.
A ghoul?
Mm-hmm.
Has he been watching Fallout?
No, he was watching some like TikTok, not TikTok, but YouTube kids where they're like chasing a ghost and a ghoul and da da da. And like they always say, you suck, et cetera. And I'm like, that hurt. That really hurt. I can't wait until you grow up.
And then he gets bald.
Dude, it's going to be, I'm just going to shave a patch of his head on fucking picture day.
No, what you need to do is in his shampoo,
mm-hmm.
add some of that, what is it? The stuff that makes your hair fall out.
Nair?
Nair. Yeah. Yeah. Put some Nair in his shampoo.
That'd be good, but.
Be like, see, you're balding. What happens?
You're balding.
See what happens when you make fun of bald people?
It was weird. Like he thought it was funny. We'll talk more about my son and the craziness that's happened this week because. You remember Minecraft, right?
Yeah.
It got worse.
Minecraft got worse?
The incident with Minecraft and my son? Do you remember the incident?
I don't remember the incident.
When he conned me into buying Minecraft?
Mm.
Roblox, he put up the purchase screen on the iPhone.
I remember there being a computer incident.
Yeah, where he bought Minecraft, like the deluxe edition for $70.
Uh-huh.
He was like, Daddy, I want Roblox. And it turns out it was in the purchase screen of Minecraft. So he told me Roblox. Roblox was on the corner of the picture. And somehow I click Face ID, purchase, $70. What? It said free. Turns out he was having me buy Minecraft and then double tap to go to the Roblox before that popped up.
Mm-hmm.
Super sketchy. Kids are so fucking terrible when they're young because they don't understand what they do is right and wrong. They just know what they want. They're driven by impulse,
mm-hmm.
you know, and how they feel. So yesterday, my son gets his Nintendo Switch, which keeps him satiated most of the time to play some games. My wife decided to download Fortnite and log into my Epic Games account because I'm the only one who has one because I was a freaking nerd 9 years ago, whatever it came out, and I bought every skin. I have every skin in Fortnite up to 2020. Every single one that was released. Yes, I am a grown-ass adult who now has a 4-year-old. Who just spent $200 on V-Bucks because he felt like it. And he wanted all the Marvel skins and the Darth Vader skins. And he doesn't know why it's wrong. Even though this is the third time he's bought something that he shouldn't have bought. Because we're idiot parents who leave all of our stuff logged in.
Mm-hmm.
And the 5 codes to unlock the phone is the same 5 codes to use to get basically anything. And he's smart as shit for 4 years old. He's 4 and 3 months. So 4 and a quarter, just for reference. This kid has started with the Minecraft where he bought a $70 game. Then it went to him buying GTA 5 for $149 on Epic Games. On the PC. Phone, PC, now Nintendo Switch.
Mm-hmm.
$200 V-Bucks. Because he bought one $100 pack and then another $100 pack. And it all went to like the Nintendo Games points codes that we had for Khaleesi and her games so she could buy what she wanted.
Mm-hmm.
And then the remainder got charged to my credit card.
Damn.
two problems. I can request a refund 3 to 5 days because he spent it, probably won't get the refund. Or two, I do a chargeback and lose all the tens of thousands I spent on that game over those years. What would you do in the comments below?
Damn.
Yeah.
That's rough.
No, I did not smack the kid around because he, like I said, he's driven by impulse, so he has no fucking clue. I just tried to explain in the best way possible, sat him down. He hurt me. Mm-hmm. He took my stuff. You don't take people's stuff. You ask. If it's a no, it's fine. But for some reason, he doesn't understand why he no longer has a phone to play with. He no longer has a Switch, and he no longer has an iPad or a PlayStation. I took it all away. It's all gone.
Did he understand after the talk?
No.
No, still no.
He's 4. And I realized just how stupid kids are.
He's not.
I gave him way too much. Like, I thought he was way too advanced for himself because I have an 8-year-old that he talks and acts like and he mimics.
Mm-hmm.
So I gave him way, like, he can make his own peanut butter and jelly sandwich. He can grab his own water. He wipes his own ass. He does his own stuff. He wakes up and doesn't wake everybody else up because he can go and grab his own drink and, like, wake up the house and, like, kind of just walk around and do his thing. Everything's locked and he's safe. But then we realized he's still a baby. Oh, shit. Yeah, that was an interesting day yesterday.
He's not sentient yet.
Exactly. When he's sentient, he'll understand. My daughter became sentient in, like, 2001, right after my son was born. And I remember just one day where she was like, you know, last week you promised something. I was like, oh, she knows. She's like, I remember. No, you promised you were going to take me in to do this. Can we go today? Tomorrow? But yes, we can go. And that was where I was like, oh, she's keeping track of things.
Mm-hmm.
Not like driven by impulse and time. And because my son will do this thing where it's like, last night. He says, last night. And you remember we went to Nanny Papa's last night? And you remember you had given me chicken nuggets last night? And you remember you were so nice last night? And I'm like, oh, I was a complete asshole last night. I know for sure. But you mean last month? And he's like, yeah. Last Monday night.
Sounds like the member berries. You remember?
Yeah, exactly.
Remember.
We appreciate you. Like, comment, subscribe. Let us know in the comments below. If you've watched this far, if you enjoy us, if you're listening right now on Spotify, drop that little heart emoji. We appreciate you. Let us know next time on During Business Hours which part you like the most.